go spread the word. When you get a fresh, hot McCrispy from McDonald's and you can feel the heat coming through the bag, don't try to wait till you get home. Always respect hot chicken. The McCrispy, only at McDonald's. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Did you know Bridgestone developed a tire using 75% recycled and renewable materials? Making a difference today for future generations. That's what really matters. Bridgestone, solutions for your journey. Visit whatreallymatters.com to learn more.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Welcome back into the Tide Talk podcast presented by TideTalkSports.com. Stacy Blackwood here with Jake Thomas. Jake, what's up, buddy?
Man, it's been a while since we done a recording. That is, we went live on YouTube a few weeks ago, but it's about time we get back in the swing of things, that's for sure.
Yeah, the guys are in fall camp right now. They're getting back in the swing of things, so it's time for us here at Tide Talk to do the same thing. Of course, on our website, TideTalkSports.com, we're putting out articles almost daily, at least three or four times a week. You can head over there right now to check out the practice report from the last couple of days. Lane breaks down Saban's press conference from today. So a lot is happening on TideTalkSports.com, and a lot's going to be happening here on the Tide Talk podcast as well. But like Jake mentioned, we wanted to get back in the swing of things here. It's been a few weeks since we've done a podcast. While we're talking about the podcast, make sure you subscribe to our podcast on whatever platform that you listen to us on, and also leave us a 5-star review. That helps us out a great deal. Jake, we're going to talk a little bit about a fall camp here in just a little bit, but we do have a few questions from Twitter. I'm going to go through those, and I'll ask them, and you can kind of give your take or your answer, and then I'll kind of piggyback off of you, and we'll kind of have a dialogue on that, and we'll kind of go through these questions real quick, and then we'll talk a little fall camp and wrap things up.
All right.
So, with that being said, let's Ricky, our boy Ricky, he was the first guy to comment on our post there on Twitter about, questions for the podcast, and he asked, who do we think the eventual starter at center is for Alabama this football season?
Man, that's a very good question from our boy Ricky. There's been a lot of talk since he's been in the program, he was the future center at Alabama. That is Dalcourt, and I believe he's been getting some first string appearances with the first string offense, and I think he's going to get the green light at center this year. That's who I'm picking for that.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's obvious that the coaching staff really likes Darren Dalcourt, mm-hmm. because Saban is a guy that it's important to him for somebody to have experience. He likes mature players, and obviously Chris Owens is that guy. He's a fifth-year guy there at Alabama. He's always been a good, leader for the team. He's a solid player, but with the position – and the offensive line at center, it's such an important position. And, of course, Landon Dickerson had to play it last year. Yep. When Deontay Brown come back from his suspension. And I think getting the center position nailed down is something that may not even happen until we get to the regular season. But I think maybe to start with it may be Chris Owens, but I'm with you. I don't see any way that Darian Dalcourt is not eventually the guy there at center. He's just too talented. Too many people are raving about him being a special talent there along the offensive line. And I mean, there's been people say that he has a chance to be the best center that Saban's had at Alabama. And that's, you know, you're talking about guys like Ryan Kelly, you know, William Vallejos was a solid center back in the day. Yep. Barrett Jones played center. So, I mean, there's a lot of high praise around Darian Dalcourt. And I think it's only a matter of time before he is, you know, put there in the starting position at center.
Yeah, I agree. And that's no knock, like you said, on Chris Owen. He's a talented player. But, you know, Dalcourt just has that – I don't know, he just has that it factor to me. And he just, like you said, he's been talked about a lot since he's been down there. So, like you said, I could see Owen starting out, but eventually I believe, like you said, Dalcourt's going to make his way onto the field and solidify that center position for the future for the Tide.
Yeah, you know, and it's something we've talked about all summer long, and there's about 8 or 9 guys in the offensive line room that could start pretty much anywhere in the country. So regardless of the starting five, it's going to be a really good starting five and probably one of the best, if not the best starting five in all of college football. So I'm really not concerned about it, but it is one of the big questions surrounding the program right now.
Oh, absolutely. And like you said, that starting five, I don't see how any defensive lineman or linebacker is going to penetrate that line the way it's set up now. I mean, that's scary. And, you know, off the rails a little bit, but, I mean, every position in Alabama, I mean, offensively and defensively, it's stacked, and it's crazy to see.
Yeah, it's the team is definitely talented. So, And, of course, everybody, yeah, that kind of goes without saying. But let's kind of go on to the next question. We're going to skip this one. This is going to be the last question we go over because I think it's the one that may, you know, we may talk about the most. But the next one we're going to go to is from Matt RP. That's at Matt RP on Twitter. So make sure you give him a follow. He's very interactive with us there on Twitter, and we appreciate his support. Mm-hmm. But he wants to know, by mid-season, who do we see getting the most reps at tight end?
Man, that's a good question. Now, Forrestall, you know, he's been solid. Depending on what kind of – I think we mainly do most of the time I've done a 2 tight end set. But – honestly, I think Billingsley, I think he's going to be the guy. I mean, a lot of people have talked about him since he's been down there as well, and he's emerging as a playmaker every single day and every single practice. And he can block really well too. So he's a complete package tight end, as Ricky said. So I believe that Billingsley will eventually be the guy at tight end.
I think you're going to see reps split pretty much between 4 different guys, and it may be based on situation and packages, but I think you're going to see, you know, pretty similar snap counts for Billingsley, Tucker, Forrestall, and Tennyson, because Forrestall and Tennyson have been in the program a long time. One's a redshirt senior and one's a redshirt junior, so they both have a lot of experience at Alabama. Of course, Tucker is a graduate transfer. He didn't transfer to Alabama not to play. And, of course, Billingsley is probably the most, you know, athletically gifted of the bunch. So I think you're going to see cases where, you know, in certain packages we're going to have both Forrestall and let's say Tennyson on the field at the same time. And then you're going to see certain packages where we have Billingsley and Tucker on the field at the same time. Mm-hmm. Maybe one of them playing. I think as far as snap counts go, I think they're going to be relatively close between those 4 players. I don't think we have an elite tight end on the roster like an O.J. Howard or an Irv Smith Jr. I think Billingsley has a chance to be maybe down the road. But right now we don't have that elite guy at tight end, so it's going to be more by committee and, you know, by design and different formations and stuff like that. But I think overall the four guys that I mentioned will kind of split those reps pretty evenly, in my opinion.
I agree with that 100%.
But let's see, moving on, I'm trying to make sure I don't miss anything. I don't see anything else here. A lot of people are talking about Dalcourt. Everybody's liking Dalcourt. Of course, that's what we talked about when we were talking about him and Chris Owens and us, at Just Beat Bama on Twitter. He replied that he thinks Landon Dickerson may be center. So, I mean, I guess that is a possibility, but I think his best position is guard. And I think he could play right alongside Evan Neal on the right side of that offensive line. And you think about our, you know, outside of center, left tackle, left guard. Left tackle is going to be Alex Leatherwood. Left guard is going to be Deontay Brown, both NFL players. On the right side, you got at right guard, Landon Dickerson, and at right tackle, Evan Neal. Both are going to be NFL players. Evan Neal will probably be a top 10 pick.
Yeah.
Not this coming draft, but the next draft. So, that offensive line is talented. I know we talked about that a minute ago, but I just saw that comment about Dickerson maybe being that center, and I guess it's a possibility. I think we have three guys that could play that position at a very high level, and that's Chris Owens, Darren Dalcourt, and Landon Dickerson. And even Emil Ekior, he could play that if we had to, but I think he's settling in at guard.
Yeah.
And it's going to be one of the three, Chris Owens, Darren Dalcourt, or Landon Dickerson, but in my opinion, it's down to Dalcourt and Chris Owens. But we're going to move on now to one of the best supporters of our podcast and of our website, and that's Steven's Two Cents. He's at RTRSTL80. Like I mentioned, he's our good friend. He supports us a lot there on Twitter and through our podcast and on our website, and we really appreciate Steven and what he's meant to us over these past few months, and I guess probably a year or so now. Yeah. But Steven wants to know, is Georgia relevant as an opponent now that Jamie Newman has opted out?
Huh. Well, I told him.
So let's go down that rabbit hole.
I told him I was excited to answer his question earlier, just with the fact that now one of my bold predictions that we have up as an article that you can go read on TyTalkSports.com, one of that bold prediction was that Florida was going to beat Georgia this year and win the East. Now more than ever, I'm not going to say it's a guarantee lot because, I mean, we know Georgia will have a great defense, but – you know, there's already question marks coming in on the offensive side of the ball. I think really they only have one elite receiver, and who knew who was going to throw to him. And they got a good running back. But they lost, I believe they lost three or four offensive linemen to the draft. So, I mean, you got to replace three of the five. So, I mean, it's going to be tough for Georgia. But we'll see how it goes. But I'm feeling very confident about my bold prediction on that right now, especially this news coming out today.
Well, just to touch on the Jamie Newman situation, I wonder how guys like Greg McElroy and all these other different people in the media who have just praised Jamie Newman like he is the greatest quarterback to ever transfer into an SEC program how he was. It's fine to think that, but it's not like the guy lit up the ACC.
Right. And the ACC only had one great team, and that's Clemson.
Right. I mean, that's what makes it so hard for me to wrap my head around the fact that all these people are so high on him. Sure. I mean, he's 6'4", 6'5", 230, 240. Very athletic, has a strong arm, but you know, there's a lot more to playing quarterback than all those things. Yeah. So, I mean, I didn't see it. I watched a bunch of his tape against the better teams in the ACC. And like Jake mentioned, that there's very few good teams in the ACC. He just was not very good and very consistent. So I was not extremely high on Jamie Newman. He may prove me wrong at the next level. But him opting out, I don't know this for a fact, but I think it probably has more to do with what he saw there at the competition with JT Daniels than anything.
Yeah,
I think JT Daniels is a talented quarterback. I think he's the better quarterback between him and Jamie Newman.
Yeah.
So, I don't know Jamie Newman. I'm not meaning to throw shade at him, but that's just kind of my two cents on that. But I don't see that affecting the game between Alabama and Georgia very much. I think Alabama is going to have a very, very good offense. I mean, pretty much everybody returns besides Tua, Judy, and Ruggs. And I know that's a lot, but we still have two of the top three or four wide receivers in the country,
mm-hmm.
arguably the top running back in the country, arguably the top offensive line in the country. So the offense has plenty of firepower. Now, Georgia will have a really good defense, and they'll play physical on defense, and, you know, they'll rough us up some, but we've put points on Georgia before, so I don't see that being a major issue, and I just don't see a way that Georgia can score more than 17 points or so against Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, a lot of that has to, you know, we'll see when the season gets here, and, you know, we have a little more scouting on both of the teams, but just looking at the teams right now and what they have returning, and like Jake mentioned, they're replacing, you know, three or four on the offensive line. They have one playmaker out wide, a proven playmaker out wide in George Pickens, especially with Blaylock going down with the ACL injury again just last week. They're unproven at quarterback. Zamir White was a very talented guy coming out of high school, but he's unproven at the college level. So they have a lot of question marks on offense. So I don't see them as of this moment being able to score more than, you know, 17 to 20 points in Tuscaloosa. And that's just not going to be enough to beat Alabama.
Yeah. Talking about the injuries at Georgia, ACL, makes you kind of wonder. Scott Cochran effect.
Yeah. And I don't know how much Scott has to do with the weight program there at Georgia. I'm sure he has a little bit of input because of his history, but I don't wish injuries on anybody, but I do feel like it was time for a change, and we have talked about it. I know people are probably tired of hearing about it. We have talked about how happy we are to have Dr. Matt Ray and David Blue on staff, and if you just look at some of the players right now, they look different. They have different body types. The one that has stood out the most to me is LeBron Ray. LeBron Ray looks like a different dude this year than any of his time in Tuscaloosa.
Mm-hmm.
And Saban even mentioned him today in his press conference. And like I mentioned, you can go to TideTalkSports.com and our buddy Lane, he put up a good piece of kind of breaking down what Coach Saban had to say today after practice. So check that out on TideTalkSports.com. But I think LeBron Ray is a guy that we really need to be watching out for. And, you know, just what Dr. Ray and Coach Ballou have been able to do in the 6 months that they've been there is really impressive, especially considering the, you know, the pandemic going on. And, you know, it was a lot of Zoom meetings early on, and, you know, you were kind of having to rely on the players doing what they were supposed to be doing. And I just think it's really impressive what they're doing. And I cannot wait to see them on the field competing against Missouri here in just, what, 3 weeks or so?
Yeah, man, I'm excited. We need football back in this stressful time that we're going through right now.
Oh, man, it's I don't know what I'm going to do when Alabama season gets here, because – like, I feel like that's all I have to look forward to right now. It's crazy. And I have a great life, but it's just, it feels like it's been so long since I've been able to watch Alabama play. And, you know, and you know, last season, of course, Alabama won 11 games, but, you know, like Joshua McMillan said, I think it was yesterday in his little press conference that, you know, it's kind of left a bad taste in your mouth. I mean, at Alabama, we're used to making the playoff, used to competing for the national championship. So last year was a little bit of a disappointment. And, you know, I'm glad him and guys like Dylan Moses are back to kind of help lead the defense back in the right way, in the right direction, you know, get it back to the Bama way and the Bama factor there on that side of the ball. And I'm excited to see that. That's something I've been kind of watching as fall camp as you know, kind of went on. And that's something I'm going to continue to watch. And I'm really excited about what this team can do. I know, Jake, we mentioned it a couple weeks ago when we done a YouTube Live. And make sure you subscribe to our YouTube channel. Just search for Tide Talk Sports, and you'll see our logo there. And subscribe to us there and keep up with us. We're going to put some content out there, you know, pretty frequently. But, you know, that's been a couple weeks, so some things have changed, some other things have happened. But what's kind of sticking out to you right now in fall camp? And we'll talk about this for a few minutes and then kind of wrap things up and get off to bed. We both got work in the morning. But just real quick, what's kind of sticking out to you so far about fall camp, and kind of what are you looking forward to the last couple of weeks of fall camp?
I'm here looking at Ricky's article from today. And, you know, as he said, it looks like Brian Branch has pretty much locked up the starting job at Star. That's very interesting. And I'm excited and ecstatic to see Malachi Moore, you know, playing well or practicing well. He's already shining a lot. But, you know, a lot of people don't talk about the secondary, but, you know, we still got some great guys in the secondary. We still got Patrick Surtain Jr. and Josh Joe. He's both of them is going to be the corners. They pretty much got them locked down without a doubt. Battle on right will be at the safety spots, and DeMarco Hallams, he's emerging as a sixth defensive back in the dime package. So, you know, there's a lot of talent in the secondary, and I'm excited to see. I believe there's going to be a lot of interceptions, you know, from that secondary this year, and of course, defensive line. It's, you know, we talk about that, how deep it is. I mean, you got, you know, just depth wise, you can interchange anybody in and out and keep them fresh for late in the fourth quarter if need be, for a stop if need be. I don't think we're going to ever get in a situation for a late fourth quarter stop this year, because, like you said, it seems like the players are hungry and they know what the focus is, and that is to win a national championship. But we're going to keep a defensive front that's going to be hopefully healthy. That's the main thing, but it's going to be fresh all year long. I can't wait to see it.
Yeah, there's a lot of – and maybe it's because we didn't have spring ball, but every position group is interesting to me. And mm-hmm. You mentioned Brian Branch there at the star position, him and Malachi Moore, both are true freshmen.
Yeah.
From all indications and all of our sources have both played outstanding this fall camp. And, you know, that's exciting. I mean, that's a tough position. You know, you think of guys like Minka Fitzpatrick played that position. So, I mean, it's a lot of special talent have played that position. And for guys like Brian Branch and Malachi Moore to be able to step into that role and play at the – it's very exciting, and I'm excited. Daniel Wright, who's kind of waited his turn, a redshirt junior now.
Yep.
A lot of potential. Of course, we saw what Jordan Battical. That's a tongue twister there.
Yeah.
When he stepped onto the field last fall as a true freshman. And, of course, our two corners, like you mentioned, Job and Surtain, they're going to be solid guys. So I'm excited to watch those. But, you know, I'm also excited about on the offensive side, who is going to take hold of that third wide receiver position? You know, it's been a lot of Slade Bolden. Javon Baker is making noise. Even got another true freshman, Trayshawn Holden, is making noise. So that's going to be – I mean, because they're going to play three wide receivers a good bit. I mean, think how often they played three wide receivers the last couple years with guys like Judy, Ruggs, and Smitty. Then you even had Waddle out there some. So there's going to be a lot of three and four wide receiver sets. So I'm excited to see kind of how that third and fourth wide receiver position kind of shape out over the course of fall camp and kind of who gets the looks there when we travel up
to Columbia,
Missouri for game one.
You know, that's another interesting position battle, and that is who's going to take over that thing.
I didn't lose you, did I? Okay, we're going to keep booking right along. Yeah. You know, and it's I'm excited to see the running backs play out. You know, Sarkisian mentioned how he didn't want to kind of overload Najee like he did last season. It was kind of an anomaly. So I'm excited to see how we you know, treat the running back situation. A lot of experience there with two seniors and Najee and Brian Robinson. So I'm excited to see how that goes. Kind of the third spot, obviously, and maybe even the second spot is going to be Trey Sanders. And if anybody is the president of the Trey Sanders fan club.
If you want on the bandwagon for Trey Sanders, jump on, because I'm driving that. I'm driving that. I just want to make a point real quick. Our players were led by our great coach and a march for social injustice, and a lot of people, you know, who claim to be Alabama fans, you know, said they'll never watch an Alabama game ever again. Well, you know, we don't like to get too political on these things, but okay, that's fine. I mean, you know, these guys are marching for something that they care about, and we have a proven leader in Saban, and you know, and if you don't agree with what they do and want to not ever watch them again, so be it. Go away. We don't need you as a fan, you know, in the fan base, because, you know, these guys look and respect Nick Saban, and Saban wanted to do it, and his players wanted to do it, and Saban was going to go do it for his guys. So, you know, if you don't like that, then jump off the out of the fan base and go find another team to root for.
Well, here's my, you know, and like Jake mentioned, we try not to get too political on here, but there's some things that you just can't go without mentioning. I'm glad you mentioned it, because it had kind of slipped my mind, because I wanted to mention it. But, you know, like Jake mentioned, there's been a lot of fans, and I do that with air quotes, you know, belittling the march and all that. First of all, this is just my opinion. You can think what you want, but like Saban said today, I don't really care. I don't have an opinion about other people's opinions. In other words, I don't care what you think. But, you know, if it's important to the players, who am I to tell them that it's not important then? I mean, how can I say it's not important? I'm not them. If it's important to them, it's important to them. You know, My dad had a quote growing up. I don't know where he got it from, but it's always stuck with me, and it applies to more than just one thing. But you know, when you're a kid, you always think you're in love with a you know, if you're a boy, you're with somebody, you're in love with, you know, your little middle school sweetheart or whatever it is, and you think you're really in love, and you know, everybody kind of makes fun of you, and they call it puppy love. And my dad always says, well, it might be puppy love, but it was real to the puppy. So, you know, this issue is real to the players. Therefore, it's important to the players, and therefore it's important to their coach. And Saban is going to support his guys. And if it's important to them, and if they feel like they need to do something, then they're going to do it. And Saban's going to be right there with them. And like Jake mentioned, he was out in front because he wanted to let the world know that by being out in front with his players, he was behind the players' march. He was approving of the players and what they were doing. And, you know, they done everything peacefully. They were, I mean, from all, they gave great speeches, and it's well thought out speeches, much like Alex Leatherwood's piece that he wrote when the whole thing kind of started a few months or a couple months back. And you know, I'm proud that the university has young men that are willing to stand up for what they believe in. I may not agree with everything that is going on about the social injustice stuff, but I don't have to agree with all that. But I do support the players coming together as one unit with the coaching staff and the other athletic departments within the University of Alabama and having a peaceful march to let their voices be heard. I mean, and if you have a problem with that, then you probably need to do some self-evaluation and maybe even get off your high horse a little bit.
Yeah, I agree 100%.
That's all I got to say about it. All right, man. Well, I think that's going to do it. I don't have anything else to add other than make sure you head to our website, TideTalkSports.com. Like I said, we try to bring new written content multiple times a week, almost daily. We try to give away all the inside information that we have regarding the program without charging you a ridiculous and outrageous subscription fee. So, I mean, to me, there's...
And we're not being homers saying that. We're just being true.
Information regarding Alabama athletics. Yeah, I mean, you can't go many places for free and get the kind of information you're going to get at TideTalkSports.com, and that's just plain and simple. It's a fact. So write it down. Big plan is straight, TideTalkSports.com. Visit us. Make sure you subscribe to our podcast on whatever platform you're listening to us on, and follow us on all our social media accounts. They're all at Tide Talk Sports.
And you can follow of course, me I'm at J. Thomas Tide.
Yeah, so give Jake a follow, give me a follow, give our Tide Talk Sports accounts a follow, and head over to our website, TideTalkSports.com, and subscribe to our podcast, the Tide Talk Podcast. And for Stacy and Jake and all of us here at Tide Talk Sports, until next time, roll Tide.
Roll Tide.
Go spread the word. When you get a fresh, hot McCrispy from McDonald's and you can feel the heat coming through the bag, don't try to wait till you get home. Always respect hot chicken. The McCrispy, only at McDonald's. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
I won't let my active psoriatic arthritis joint symptoms define me.
Emerge as you. Tremfya guselkumab is proven to significantly reduce joint pain, stiffness, and swelling in adults with active psoriatic arthritis. Some patients even reported less fatigue as assessed by survey 1 week prior. Results may vary. Tremfya is taken by injection 6 times a year after 2 starter doses at week 0 and 4.
Serious allergic reactions may occur. Tremfya may increase your risk of infections and lower your ability to fight them. Before treatment, your doctor should check you for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms of infection, including fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough. Tell your doctor if you had a vaccine or plan to.
Emerge as you. Learn more about Tremfya, including important safety information, at Tremfya.com or call 1-877-578-3527. See our ad in Food & Wine magazine. For patients prescribed Tremfya, cost support may be available.
Some people like to deep clean every Saturday morning. I prefer to spend a few minutes every day keeping things fresh with Lysol. Lysol's brand new day all-purpose cleaner cleans and kills 99.9% of viruses and bacteria on hard, non-porous surfaces around your home with a fragrance that feels like a tropical getaway for your senses. Don't just clean, Lysol clean.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. for the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica, empathy is our best policy.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries, plus napkins, plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this, plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, Essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.